KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, 9 degrees above zero. Looking forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today and a high of 25. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, trial is slated to begin this morning in Council Bluffs for a Pottawatomie County man charged with the first-degree murder of a rural Cass County woman. The Daily Nonpareil reports a selection of jurors from East Pottawatomie County in the case against 63-year-old Robert A. Reynolds will begin at 9:30 a.m. in the Pott County Courthouse with Judge Greg Stensland presiding. The actual trial is expected to get underway later this afternoon. Reynolds is charged in connection with the April 8th shooting death of 64-year-old Patricia Kincaid Dorsey. The incident took place at Reynolds' home in Oakland. Authorities say at around 3:30 a.m. on the 8th, sheriff's deputies, members of the Iowa State Patrol and Oakland Fire and Rescue found Kincaid Dorsey deceased inside Reynolds' home. At the time, the sheriff's office said a disturbance involving one or multiple people who had been drinking alcohol preceded the shooting. Reynolds was initially uncooperative with authorities, and a brief standoff ensued before he eventually allowed law enforcement to enter his home. The sheriff's department says the weapon used in the shooting was a semi-automatic handgun. Reynolds allegedly told deputies that Kincaid Dorsey was not armed. The suspect and victim were reportedly acquaintances. Last month, a judge approved a motion to suppress evidence filed by Reynolds' defense attorney. Attorney Eric Nelson of Council Bluffs had successfully argued that an interview between Reynolds and the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office should be thrown out as evidence. Court documents say that on April 9th, Reynolds reportedly told sheriff's deputies during the interview that he had a verbal confrontation with Kincaid Dorsey in the kitchen of his Oakland residence before shooting her multiple times. Pottawatomie County Attorney Matt Wilbur said Reynolds asked to speak with an attorney during the interview, but later waived his Miranda rights. The Creston Police Department reported today that a local teen was allegedly caught trespassing Monday. 14-year-old Virginia Gilliland was turned over to juvenile authorities just after 5 p.m. for allegedly trespassing at 211 North Elm Street. Red Oak Police arrested a man Monday afternoon. Joseph Earl Smith of Red Oak was charged with driving while suspended and no proof of insurance after he was stopped at the corner of Broadway and Walnut Streets in Red Oak. The Atlantic Police Department yesterday released details about an accident that occurred at 9th and Poplar Streets last Friday. Officials said a vehicle driven by Jesse Simmons of Atlantic was traveling southbound in the 900 block of Poplar Street, entering the intersection at 9th, when it was struck by a vehicle driven by Marilyn Mundorf of Atlantic. Mundorf had stopped at the intersection facing eastbound and had proceeded to enter the intersection when she hit Simmons' pickup, causing it to roll onto its top. Mundorf was cited for failure to yield or stop at an intersection. Her vehicle sustained $4,500 damage. Simmons was cited for driving under suspension and for having no liability insurance. His vehicle sustained $8,200 damage. A single vehicle accident with injuries occurred Saturday south of Elkhorn. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office responded to the scene on Highway 173 at around 12:20 p.m. Officers discovered 17-year-old Zachary Thompson of Elkhorn had lost control of the 2005 Chevy Trailblazer he was driving southbound. The vehicle went into a ditch and rolled onto its roof and came to rest. Elkhorn Fire and Rescue responded to the scene and transported Thompson to the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. He was later transferred to the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. The roadway was ice and snow covered at the time of the crash. Two Creston residents were arrested Friday on separate charges. The Creston PD said 15-year-old Mauricio Andres Trejos Castaneda was referred to juvenile authorities after he was allegedly found to be in possession of marijuana. The teen was then released to his stepfather. And 20-year-old Patrick Riley Liams was arrested at around 10:15 p.m. Friday for public intoxication. He was later released from the Union County Jail on his own recognizance. The Creston PD said Monday they were also investigating reports of theft. Last Thursday, a Creston man reported his wallet was stolen and his credit cards were used for an unknown amount. The loss was initially estimated at least $30. On Friday, a Creston man reported that his 2001 MCKD Maglander trailer was stolen sometime between October 14th and November 14th. That loss was estimated at $2,500. And on Sunday, a Creston woman reported to police that someone had entered her residence sometime between 1:20 p.m. and 7 p.m. on that date. She was missing a Google laptop computer, a Nexus 7 tablet, and $100 in cash. The loss was estimated at $650. In other news, plans for the replacement of a shelter at Sunnyside Park in Atlantic are continuing to progress. During Monday night's meeting of the city's Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors, Parks Director Roger Herring asked the board to seriously consider a proposal from a company that can provide an unassembled, prefabricated, low-pitch wood beam shelter for the kiddie corral at Sunnyside Park. The open structure would cost about $25,000 to $26,000. That price does not include a concrete slab and electrical wiring. Herring said the manufacturer would need at least 8 weeks lead time before it's shipped.
One concern that I have with kiddie corral is that people love Kitty Corral because it's got the shelf around the outside of it, the little short wall. It's great, but it's also a security issue for me. And I think the police would go along with that, is that you can drive by there at night and people can be hiding up there. They can be sitting up there. They can be ducking down and sitting up there doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing. And that's why they're in there after hours. So I think it, for security reasons, two things. I think you can eliminate that shelving, even though it's a shelf and it's also a seat, so you can sit lots of people around it. And I think an additional thing that's never been talked about, but I would like to include, would be some kind of security light that would come on at dusk. And I would like to incorporate that also into the Camlin shelter.
In other business, the Parks and Rec Board agreed to advertise for an assistant Parks and Rec Department director who will eventually succeed Herring. A committee will be assembled on November 24th to begin the process of soliciting applications and eventually interviewing the candidates, with the idea being to have their selection in place as early as possible next year.
March 1 would still give us a time of one full season of summer season and then one full winter season with the assistant, and get a good handle on that.
Ideally, that person will be able to start on January 2nd, according to the board, but there is flexibility that would allow them to begin by March the 1st. Their annual salary would range from $38,000 to $44,000 after 3 years. The board wants to get someone on board as soon as possible to get them trained for the position and allow Herring to concentrate more on grant application writing. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.